I've been both a ghost and haunted in the city I love, and I've been possessed as well by the movies I've seen in its theaters. One of the signs of a good movie is how it lingers after you leave the theater, and this aftertaste of enchantment happens most effectively with films seen in the contemplative zone of theaters. Often, leaving a theater, I enter a night in which the mood, the characters, the spectacles, and the possibilities all seem to continue the movie's sensibility, as though an incantation summoning up experiences and realities far beyond the screen. When Vertigo was released in 1958, there were about 70 movie theaters in the city, far more than now when films have moved, at best, to the less ceremonial space of multiplexes, and films are now even shown on airplanes and laptops and cell phones, as well as televisions and monitors at home. But the old theaters were sometimes called dream palaces, and dreaming then was done collectively in the dark, with rituals beforehand, the appointed times and places, and it had another kind of magic. Anyone who grew up going to the movies knows the steps, the arrival, the examination of film schedules or movie posters out front, the purchase of the ticket, often at one of those glass booths facing the street, the ticket torn from a roll and made of a particular kind of soft, fibrous colored cardboard, red, sometimes orange or lavender or gray, to be found later crumpled in pockets. Then the taking of the ticket, the promenade past the refreshment stand, the aroma of popcorn and butter, the worn carpet of lobbies, and then the filing down dark aisles to the rows of velvet folding chairs, and maybe the argument about an ideal seat. I even love the trailers, which serve as advertisements, but also as mad little movies, cramped up like a peony before bloom, a butterfly in chrysalis, everything smashed in together, a burst of what you didn't choose before the launching of what you did. For a long time, I lived across the street from a building that was for a decade or so an AIDS hospice, called the House of Love. It was run by white sari-wearing nuns in Mother Teresa's order. She came by my neighborhood a few times herself. After her death, the nuns left, and the big Victorian building became just another San Francisco collective household, though the residents held on to the name House of Love, threw big raves, grew a Rousseau-like jungle in the old storefront downstairs, and showed movies. Or rather, one of the roommates, whose bay window faced my kitchen bay window, screened movies for himself with a DVD projector that turned his back wall into a theater of flickering faces and acts. I'd get out of a taxi at midnight and stand mesmerized for 10 minutes, key in hand, as huge figures loomed and jumped on that wall, or I'd watch those silent movies for a while from my window. That little impromptu home theater with its giant faces in careening motion lurching inside the house reminded me how supernatural movies once were and still are, given an arena to exercise their full power of uncanniness. A whole dinner party in my kitchen halted once, trying to identify the movie in the window during an episode featuring Nick Cage's lugubrious face about 9 feet high. You could picture a body filling up the house to go with that head, a giant folded up inside a wooden box, Alice after one of her drink me moments. In my early teens, when my mother worked in San Francisco, I would take the bus into the city and join her in watching Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers movies at the Castro Theater. Its broad arcs of seats, its ornamental box seat balconies, its oxidized gilt and its great ceiling mural of the Zodiac, with a pendulum-like ornament dangling from its center, are all still there in this theater, where I've seen so many westerns, film festival offerings, silent movies, all the classics, Tarkovsky's, Antonioni's, seen Milk, the movie about the mayor of Castro Street, made doubly magical as the street outside and the theater itself kept showing up on the screen. The Gay Man in the Dark with me educated me over the years about reading the sexual subtext and preposterous elements of movies, about how to enjoy the homoeroticism of westerns, the spectacle of over-the-top femininity, the endless supplies of unlikely plot twists and overwrought emotions. They taught me with sniggers and murmurs and sighs up and down the rows in the dark. It's a big theater with a big screen. the kind of monoplex you don't see anymore, and the supernatural splendor I'd found in my neighbor's dark room I found in close-ups at the Castro. In Once Upon a Time in the West, the camera comes closer and closer to Charles Bronson's squinting eyes. You expect the camera, as conventional American cameras would have, to stop when his head fills the screen, a head as big and obdurate as one of those giant Toltec stone heads. But the camera travels inward and further in till the glare of his two staring, narrowed eyes fills the great sail of the screen. It's as though God were looking at you, for if there's one attribute of the medieval deity that makes sense cinematically is that he's gigantic, looming, a force that fills the sky. There's a little 12th century church up in the Pyrenees on the pilgrimage route from Paris to Santiago de Compostela, the Church of Saint Foy de Conques, and on its western facade, the saint herself is shown, a tiny figure bent in prayer towards a huge hand coming out of the sky, wonderful and terrifying. Charles Bronson's fierce light eyes were that big. They haunt me still. They're what I see when I picture that screen. In the creation myth of the Kuia, the creators argue about death. One of the gods is against it because it is, after all, very sad. The other one points out that without it, the earth will get very crowded. Film has given us the ghosts who make it crowded and who make us ghosts wandering through time and place, dissolve the solidities of these categories and set us all free to haunt and be haunted in the city of cinema, the city in which you dwell with Madeline, with Muybridge, with strangers in the dark, with the ghosts among whom you yourself were a ghost, haunting your own eyes like those of a god, for thanks to cinema, you too see the dead now.